Well, here I am to make my annual report. The world of humans is in a hell of a mess. Really. There's wars and rumors of wars. People blowing themselves up. The murders, horror stories everywhere, more war. Even the earth seems to be revolting against us. Storms, tsunamis, earthquakes in California. Maybe this is the end of California. Super volcanoes supposed to explode and cover Denver and Boulder and ash. The world of humans is really in a hell of a mess. The government of this country teetering on the edge of God knows what, horror, unexpected, not what we were taught this was about. Suffering everywhere, ignorance everywhere, aggression and hatred everywhere. The world of humans is desperate, it seems. And in times like this, the very idea of seeking after some personal spiritual liberation, some individual breaking of the chains of ignorance, can seem self-indulgent and even risky. Risky to take our eyes off what's going on in the world, lest somebody come and blow themselves up on the bus that we're on, or a comet fall from the sky, or the earth open up beneath us. Risky even to consider the idea that all of this is, well, nothing really. Even to consider the idea that the purpose of my life is to know the truth. Not the truth of who's right and who's wrong, which side I should be on, what I should be in favor of and opposed to, but the truth. The idea that the purpose of my life is to know the actual nature of reality can seem self-indulgent and risky. I mean, we better pay attention to what's going on. It's scary. It's getting scarier all the time. Better think about it. Try to figure out what to do, how to change things, how to make things safe for our children, how to make things safe for me. Better keep our eyes on the ball. We can wait a while for this spiritual nonsense. There are bigger issues at hand. But we've been around now as social animals for a long, long time. And in that long, long time, we've tried everything. There's nothing we haven't tried. We've tried slavery, feudalism, capitalism, communism, socialism, anarchy, theocracies. We've tried religion. We've tried killing each other. We've tried marching for peace. We've tried going to war. We've tried it all, and nothing worked. It's self-evident that nothing has worked, because here we are in the same mess we have always been in the same hatred, in the same horror, in the same fear, in the same cloud of ignorance that we have always loved to swim in and wallow in. Nothing's worked. Education hasn't worked. Religion hasn't worked. Enlightenment hasn't worked. Politics haven't worked. Nothing has worked. What we know, or what we can know, if we're willing really to look with open eyes and clarity at what's here, what we know is that the source, the root, the foundation of the horror story, the engine of the war and hatred and murder, the engine of it is in our own heart, that the war begins here, that the horror story begins here, in the endless warfare that I conduct against everything about myself that I don't like, or that I think is wrong, as I really frantically try to become something true and good and real. We know, if we are willing to look at it with clear eyes, that here's where the war is. And here's where the war must end. No matter how risky it feels, no matter how tempting is the excuse that the purpose of my life is to know the truth, the excuse that this is self-indulgent. We've tried everything else. Everything. Here's where the war is. Here. Nowhere else. All the rest of it is the projection of this warfare that goes on in my own heart that says this is right, this is wrong, this must stay, this must go, this is what I must feel, this is what I must not feel, this is true, this is false. That's the source of all of it, right here, in my own heart. So we've tried everything else, and everything else has failed. What's possible is that without regard to whether it succeeds or fails, what's possible is to see that it is absolutely, totally, completely possible in this moment only now, to know the truth, to know my actual nature, to know the reality of I, to see once and for all, without any spiritual conditions applied to it, whether there's any truth to any of this, or whether we'd be better off going out finding somebody to kill, somebody to do away with, than teetering on the edge between some spiritual ideas, some spiritual yearning, and the great fear that we are about to become engulfed in the horror story of human beings. It's happened before. So let's say we do that, just as an experiment. Let's say that, just for this time together, we consider nothing having to do whatsoever with what's going on in the world, or whether it's self-indulgent or self-sacrificing to know the truth, or whether it's risky for me to put my attention on reality, on actuality, on I. We can soon see, if we do that, if we turn our attention to this consideration, it soon becomes apparent that here too, in the whole business of seeking after truth, in the whole business of yearning for reality, yearning to know, in this too, we have tried everything. Everything. Isn't it so? We've tried religion. We've tried meditation. We've tried Shaktipat. We've tried gurus. We've tried mantras. We've tried wearing things on our breast. We've tried ashrams. We've tried everything. And nothing's worked. None of it. Nothing spiritual has worked, ever. Nothing material has worked, ever. We are the same pitiful, suffering knots of ignorance that we have always been. Wishing it were other. Wishing it were not so. Turning to the next teaching that comes by, or the next political solution that comes by, or the next solution that has to do with withdrawal from the world that comes by. And we tried it all. Everything. And nothing works. Nothing. It's self-evident. Here we are. Killing each other. Hating each other. Destroying each other. Clinging to our ignorance. It's not our fault. You know, it's not our fault. We don't know any better. We are born into this world carrying God knows what karmic burden. We are born into this world without a clue as to the nature of I, of myself. We're born into this world, and from the very beginning, we begin frantically looking around, gathering this and that, and getting rid of this and that, looking for clues, looking for some understanding. What should I be? What should I do? How should I act? What should I think? What should I feel? What should I not feel? What should I not think? What should I get rid of? What about me has to go? What's good about me? What's bad about me? Tell me, please. We look at our parents. We look at our teachers. We look at our gurus. We look at our preachers. We look at movies. We look at television. We look at books and novels. We look everywhere, trying to find some clue to what's real about me. Some clue to what I should be and what I should not be. And in the process, we gather a huge cloud of assumptions and certainties and convictions, a huge cloud of the ignorance that is knowledge. And we carry it around with us. And we gather into this cloud, we gather the history of me, the story of me, where I have been, what I have come from, what caused me to do this, what caused me to do that, what caused me to be as I am, why it's right for me to be as I am, why it's wrong for me to be as I am, why it's your fault that I am as I am. And we happen upon a spiritual teaching, or many spiritual teachings. Most of us have been through the whole array of them, really. We happen upon some spiritual teaching. We happen upon the utterance, the announcement, the claim that arises from the Buddha. The liberation is here, now. And we hear the songs and the sutras and the shastras that are sung by those who, through whom the light of truth cannot help but shine. And we hear these songs and poems and beautiful, beautiful expressions of truth. And we yearn for that. And we add to our trailing cloud of ignorance some idea of what it feels like to be at the source of these expressions, of these poems, of these songs. And we yearn for that. We yearn to be in that state. And we try meditation, and we try extreme physical exertions, and we try isolation, and we try obedience to the guru, and we try reading and trying to understand and trying to deepen our spiritual understanding. And nothing works. Nothing. We've heard tell that there are those who have been awake, but not me. Why can't I get that? Well, if I understand more, if I really understand reality, maybe then. If I really, really know what it feels like to be awake, maybe then. At least then I can watch what states here so I know whether it's the state of being awake or not. And all the while, all we are doing is playing out the same bloody war, the same horror story. Looking, watching, laying in wait, wanting to see the bad arise so that I can kill it off. Waiting to see the bad feelings arise so that I can stuff them down and stab them. Waiting to see the feelings of bliss and open-heartedness and generosity of spirit come within me so that I can hold on to them, put them in prison, make sure they don't get away. But of course they do. And nothing works. So what I come to speak about with you, what I come to speak about from my experience in this futile pursuit of spiritual awakening, of enlightenment, this futile pursuit of peace at any cost, is what I receive from my teacher, Gangachi, what she received from her teacher, and what we have all received from Ramana Maharshi, which is the possibility to try something different in this moment, to forget everything you know about spiritual reality, to forget everything you know about your place in the human race. You have no place in the human race. To forget everything you know about the world and all its foolishness. And just for this time, on the word of Ramana Maharshi, do nothing other than look for yourself. The most fundamental issue in human life is, what am I? One would think that this wouldn't be too hard a thing to know. I mean, here I am. I cannot deny that. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter what state's here, no matter what state is not here, here I am. How hard can it be to know what I am? I can't escape. I can't get rid of myself, hard though I may try, seeking samadhis and so forth. Here I am. It's interesting to me that if I say I in a spiritual group, if I say the word I, everyone hears something, what, true, right? Something real, something spiritual. But if I say ego, everyone hears the enemy, the problem, the source of ignorance, the horror itself, what must go. And yet, I and ego are exactly the same thing. Isn't that true? Is there anything to I other than ego? Is there anything that we know? Anything that we can experience? No matter how vast and huge, no matter how beautiful, no matter how horrible, that is not I? Anything? Anywhere? So the fundamental issue is I. Everything whatsoever that comes and goes within our consciousness comes and goes within I. Consciousness and I are, in truth, the same thing. Are they not? Is there any consciousness that we can possibly know that is not I? Anywhere to be found? Is there anything that can be seen outside of I? Anything to be sought outside of I? I mean, certainly we have concocted stories about states and realms and vastness and so forth that are not I. But these are stories only. If we look at the actuality of our experience, we must see that all there is I. Nothing else. Everything that appears and disappears, appears and disappears within I, which of course is synonymous with ego, which of course is the enemy. Ramana's offering, Ramana's absolutely radical, not spiritual. Ramana doesn't have anything spiritual to offer. Spiritual is stories, is states, is experiences, is the yearnings, the heavens and hell and so forth. That's spiritual. Ramana has nothing spiritual to offer. What Ramana has to offer is the actual possibility in this moment of knowing the truth of what you are. And the encouragement to see that everything else is beside the point. Until the actual truth of what you are is known to you, the rest of it is all beside the point. It's all postponement and distraction. Enlightenment is beside the point. Peace is beside the point. And the great gift of Ramana is the actual reality that I can be known directly, immediately, nakedly, in this moment, now. All that's required is for us to throw away all our spiritual ideas about choice and choicelessness and action and non-action and effortlessness and all of that junk. Throw that all away and turn our attention inward to the source of me, of I, of me. I and me are the same. They are not different. Self is exactly what feels like self. What a shock. And here all along I thought it was something hidden, something far away, something unattainable, something unrealizable. You are the realization of self. You are the absolute, perfect, eternal realization of awareness. Just as you are, as I, just as you are, nothing changed, nothing made to stay, nothing made to leave, just as you are. And that's the claim that has been made to us from the very beginning, by all of them, all of those whom we envy and worship and adore and are devoted to. That is the claim of all of them. And I say, it's time for us to pump up our courage and find out whether they're telling the truth. How hard can it be? I am here. Can anyone deny that they are here? I am here. All there is I. All the relationships, all of the emotions, all of the thoughts, all of the conditioned behaviors, all of the vasanas, all of the samskaras, all of the good things, all of the bad things, all of the resistance, all of the open-heartedness, all of the hatred, all of the love, all of the earth, all of the human species, all of the cosmos comes and goes in I, in this consciousness, in this limited consciousness. All comes and goes. So what is this? What is its nature, really? What is this in which everything comes and goes? What am I, really? It is my experience, my continuous experience, that to know one's actual nature, which you already do, to be conscious of what you know, to be conscious of this knowing, brings an end to the war. And it's all that brings an end to the war. And this willingness to, first of all, to discover the truth of what I am, not in order that I can know myself to be infinite consciousness, not in order that I can know myself to be puny and limited, but to know what I am, truly. Truly. Without regard to what anybody has said. It's really easy. Here you are. What is it that feels like you? Can you put your attention there? Can you rest your attention on the feeling of being you? Can you ignore all the stories and the thoughts that will continue to come? They're just thoughts. They have no power. They're just stories. They have no meaning. And when that's seen, the same willingness to see what I am actually, not to confirm any spiritual idea, not to deny any non-spiritual idea, but finally to know the truth. In that willingness to investigate, to inquire, then I can receive everything with the same open-eyed, open-hearted, open-minded willingness. Then I can receive the negative emotions. Receive them. Feel them. Forget the stories about them. Forget the assumptions that they're bad or good. And see, actually, what their actual nature is. Then I can receive my own ignorance, my own resistance, and see directly, immediately, in this moment, what it is, actually. How is it different from I, actually? Not to confirm, not to deny, but to know directly what it is. Now I can receive the experiences of bliss and oceanic consciousness and emptiness and fullness and wonder without needing to grasp them, wanting only to know, what's your nature? What are you, really? To passively listen, receive whatever arises. Now I can receive my own selfish yearning to be loved, to be wanted, to be cared for. The yearning itself, the selfishness itself. And see it for what it is. Actually. Actually. And see whether there's any truth to all this that we've been told in spiritual practices about all is one. Find out for real in this moment. Now I can receive the body's pain directly. See it for what it is at its core. I can receive the greediness, the ugliness, the beauty, the sweetness, the depth, the shallowness. All of it. All of it, only I. The same. No boundary. Then, only then, is it possible for this ego mind to be finished with projecting its hatred of itself on you. Can be finished with projecting its experience of neediness and lack and wanting onto you. So I get you and what you have. Only then. Only when I know directly that it's all I. Only then. All the rest of it ain't worth powder to blow it to hell. And we know it. We've tried it all. So this, to me, is the great gift of Ramana Maharshi. It is the promise. The promise and the how. The promise that in this moment, now, you can know the truth of yourself. You can know and be done with all of the spiritual seeking. Now, you can know the truth. Now, by turning your attention only to I, to see it for what it is. Take no one's word for it. And the how, which is to receive it all, without resistance, even resistance to be received, without resistance, to receive it all, to look at it all, with eyes wide open, with no requirements, with no conditions, just to know, in this lifetime, in this moment, what's true, what's real, what am I? And then the war is done. That's the promise. And then the war is done. And if the war is done with you, the war is done with the world. This is the truth. If the war is done with you, then no more will you be adding to the horror and the hatred and the stupidity of the world, of human beings. Instead, you will be receiving it all. Seeing it to be I, no other, just I. If there is hope for humans, it is in the truth. I don't know whether there's hope for humans, but if there's hope for humans, it is in your own heart, in your own willingness to know the truth, to know what's real, to know what I am, finally, once and for all. God knows nothing else has done us any good. Okay. Anybody want to come up and talk? Hello, my friend. I'm glad to see you. Don't sit on that microphone. So you got to hold your microphone.
Well, I had a report. I went on the Boulder Satsang website and saw the announcement about your satsang. And I read that something like those who, this invitation is not for those who are spiritually advanced. Mm-hmm. And the instant I read that, I felt relief. And so that was like a Dharma bell to me. I said, what is this relief that I'm feeling? And what it revealed was that up to that point, I had believed there was a thing, such a thing as spiritual evolution. And I didn't think I had it. And so that was the relief. And when I went into it, it was like the whole idea of spiritual evolution was like an oxymoron.
Yes, isn't it?
It didn't exist.
Spiritual evolution is an excuse. It's a postponement. That's all it is. This is for everybody. I mean, really, everybody. There's no one, no one, not George Bush, not Saddam Hussein, not me, certainly not me, not you. There is no one who cannot know the truth of what they are and be done with it. It doesn't take any spiritual understanding. None. Zero.
Well, I guess that's it.
I guess that's it. I'm happy to see you. The other part of that, the other part of that quote that's on the, I guess on the Boulder Satsang website, is that nor is it for those with little or no spiritual understanding. This invitation is not for the spiritually advanced, and it's not for those with little or no spiritual understanding. This invitation is for you. For you. You can put your lack of spiritual understanding and the depth of your spiritual understanding in the same trash can. Want to come up? Oh, come on. Come on. Hi. I didn't hear you, so that's why you have to come up.
Oh, I said, so what does it take then? Because it must take something if it's been taking so long for us to get it.
Well, in the deepest truth, it takes us being finished with everything we've been trying to do. That's really the heart of it. But what it takes is to recognize and see, you tell me if this isn't true, is to recognize that everything you've been doing for your whole life has at its core a need to know what you are. Either it may not be in the sense of knowing what you are, but to become what you're supposed to be, which is just another perspective. That the whole energy of life that seems to be outward going, looking for information, looking for understanding, looking for relationship, looking to get something, looking to get rid of something, and so forth, that all is driven by the need within me to know or to become what I need to become, or to know what I am, really, stripped of the idea that, of course, I know what I am, and I just have to become something better. What's at the heart of it is the fact that I don't have a clue what I am, and I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm trying to make something. And that's all it takes, is to see that that whole energy of life is driven by that need to know the truth of what I am. And it is, when it is in its outward going mode, it is postponement and misery and suffering. It is acquiring and getting rid of. And all that's required is to feel in this moment the reality of that yearning, which we call spiritual yearning, or in some context romantic yearning, or the yearning for material gain, or, you know, whatever. The reality, the present reality of that yearning. And instead of following it outward, turn your attention inward to its source, to see what it is, from whence it comes. And that's all that's required. Can you do that? Of course you can.
I just had my mind blown.
And that's all.
So we must have to exhaust everything to get there.
Huh?
We must have to exhaust.
Exhaustion can be a help, okay? I mean, really, it can be a help because it gives a sense of the futility of what I've been doing all along and opens the possibility of hearing this. But it really doesn't require anything other than to see that this yearning has been driving me and I want to know what it is, from whence it comes. I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to stay. I don't want to get what I think it wants. I want to know what it is.
Could you keep going with that? Because I think we've been told that before.
Oh, I'm sure we have.
You know?
I'm sure we have. And generally speaking, we have taken that and put it in our pre-existing structure of understanding. We've made something of it. All that's required is that you stop paying attention to thought and instead turn attention to what's here. Can you do that?
Not exactly.
Sure you can. That's a lie. You sure can. What is thought? Where does thought come from?
Well, it's that very thing you're talking about, which is, you know, we want something, you know, or we want it, or we're pushing it away, mm-hmm. or, you know. That's mostly what thought is, right? I mean, that's for me.
Well, thought is that. Thought is memory. Thought is the body, yeah, is like, a thought, really.
I need something, or, you know, I have to do something, or, you know.
Yeah. But check this out, okay? Without regard to spiritual issues about choice and choicelessness, forget those.
Yeah, you said that.
For this moment, okay? Can you move your attention from object to object? Like, for example, can you focus...
That's tricky.
Listen to me.
Because I keep wanting to do that.
Right now, can you focus your attention on what it feels like for your hand to be the interface between your hand and that microphone? Just attend to that. Just really feel that. And now, can you move it to the sound of my voice? And forget about the feeling of the microphone. And move your attention so all you're really paying attention to is not even the content, but just the sound of my voice. Of course you can. So you see, you can move your attention where you want to. You see that? Forget about any...
So we're going where?
We're going to the source of this yearning. We're going to the feeling of I.
I've been there, but why don't
I... Stay there.
I'm going to the source of my yearning.
Huh?
I'm going to the source of my yearning. I'm going to...
Who says it's your yearning? That's already... Do you see how already that's creating a relationship with a yearning? You see that? If it's my yearning, then there's yearning in me. We already start out with knowing too much. without realizing that we know that.
All of a sudden it just opens.
What opens? When? Now?
When you go to the source, there's just openness.
Yeah? And where are you? Who reports on this openness?
That's a good question. You know, maybe it's just, you know, habit.
Yeah. But you see, and you see what I'm... It is a good question. It's the only question that's worth asking. The question is not, what is the result of turning my attention inward? Like, oh, it feels really good. It feels open and spacious and so forth.
Yeah.
That's just giving us one more delightful thing to want to go back to hold in memory.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, it's just part of our endless apparatus of deciding this feels good and this feels bad. The openness feels good.
Yeah.
The closeness feels bad. Yeah. But to whom? To you.
To me.
And where is that to be found?
Me.
And where is that to be found? Is that open? Is that closed? The openness is seen by you. It appears in you. It disappears in you. The closeness appears in you. It's seen by you.
Starting to feel like a channel.
Huh?
Channel. A channel.
What's a channel?
What's a channel? That it's, I'm just channeling the current momentum.
Okay, you're channeling the current momentum. But who are you? What are you? You see, all of that stuff, like, oh, if I go to the source of desire, of yearning, I find openness and spaciousness. And boy, that feels good. And it does, doesn't it? We've all known that. We've all done that. And then, sure enough, just as it came, it goes, and is replaced most often by a feeling of closeness and lostness. We've all known that too. And then stories and theories about what's happening, that's thought, right? I'm channeling the momentum. I am doing this. I am these two. These theories and thoughts and ideas, they too appear within us and disappear within us to replace by a new set of theories and thoughts. But what goes unexamined is I, which is here through it all.
So where do I go from here? I,
that's right. Now, as we sit here, what's your name?
Peggy.
Peggy. I'm John.
Hi.
As we sit here, can you deny that you are?
No.
Why?
What?
Why not?
Why can't deny you? What? What?
That you are.
That
you
I
exist.
Am?
Yeah. Can you deny that to yourself? I mean, it's not so absurd a spiritual question, right? I mean, that's what we're taught in spiritual practice, right? We are not. So, can you deny it? Why not? What prevents that? What present experience makes it impossible for you to deny your existence? Look for it.
I don't think I deny my existence. I think I'm pretty attached to it.
Yeah, just listen. Okay. You're skipping over what I said. You cannot deny your existence.
No.
I'm not suggesting that you're denying your existence. What I am asking you is what present experience makes that impossible.
Well, when I look around, it seems pretty much consistent.
And who is this I that's looking around?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm not sure.
If you
know.
Listen to me, Peggy, if all of this disappeared, right, would you be inexistent?
Probably.
Are you inexistent in sleep?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
How do you know you slept?
Because I wake up.
Well, but if you are inexistent during sleep, right, then is it not true that when you wake up, you know you were asleep? It's not like click, like I'm laying in bed and then I am, there's the sun. There's a definite knowing that you were asleep. Is that not true?
Absolutely, that's true.
So it's that experience that is here now, that is here when you sleep, that is here when you dream, that is here if your arms and legs are cut off, that is here if you go blind and deaf and unable to speak. It is that present experience that I'm asking you to find, because that's what makes it impossible for you to deny your existence. Is that not so? That doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't.
So that's what I'm asking you to look for. And how hard is that to find right now?
It's sort of not seeming hard.
Huh?
It doesn't seem hard.
Doesn't seem hard.
No.
It only seems hard when I'm watching thought, when I'm paying attention to thought.
Yes.
If I, as I have discovered in this little exercise we did, if I see that I have a choice what I put my attention on.
Yeah.
Therefore, I have a choice whether to pay attention to thought or not.
Yes.
Right?
At any moment in time.
At any moment.
You can make that choice.
I can make that choice. Yeah. I can turn my attention to this that you know is here, that you just experienced, that you just saw in this moment. I can rest my attention there and let thought be as it is. Not make it go away. Not destroy it. Let it be as it is. If it comes, it comes. If it goes, it goes. I am here. With thought, without thought. I am here. And that's the offering. Okay?
That's
good. Yes, that is good. And that's what you're here for. Really.
Really? That's what I'm here for?
That's what you're here for. You're here to be the eye of awareness. Pun intended.
Boy, that is wonderful, isn't it? Boy.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm very happy with this meeting.
That's really neat.
I knew you really wanted to come up.
What?
I knew you did really want to come up. And you know, that's all it is to it. That's the whole of self-inquiry, right there. And the claim and the promise of Ramana Maharshi is that at any moment, attention can return to its source. Here, now, at any moment. And it matters not what you've been doing until then. The important thing to see is that you are the perfect realization of eternal awareness, just as you are. And you see that by tasting directly the actuality of your nature. You can't change that. You can't get realization. You are that. That's what's meant by those statements. You can't get that. And that's what's seen in the moment of tasting the actuality of what I am. And it doesn't matter if in the next moment you go running, chasing off after some train of thought. Doesn't matter. You are still the perfect realization of consciousness, of eternal awareness. And the thing to remember is that when you catch yourself, when you see that you have hopped aboard this train, and you see that now you are suffering because of it, do not waste one nanosecond regretting it. That's all. It's all that's required. Do not waste one nanosecond saying, oh my God, I've done it again. I am so stupid. I'll never get it. That's, throw it away. It's thought only. The train is thought only. The suffering is thought only. The awakening is thought only. You are here. You are all that's real. Just as you are. You are the container and the receptacle of this whole play, which is nothing other than consciousness seeing itself, manifesting itself. Nothing other than you. And it may be that you discover that in your willingness and your determination to not follow thought, to not be caught up in the conviction that because you have followed thought, you are worthless and should be done away with, your ego that should be killed off. It is just possible that the whole apparatus of grasping, holding, getting rid of, will play itself out. Soften. That you will lose interest in it. And I promise you, if you lose interest in it, the war is really over. Really over. And it's so easy. So easy. Okay, who else? Yes. Hi. Have we met before?
No.
What's your name?
Pamela.
Pamela, hi.
Hi. That was going to be so hard to talk about this stuff. So
okay.
Subtle. But is that what you found in your consciousness, that you had awakening, or, you know, we get it, and then we watch. the whole thing, the system seems to wear itself down.
But what use is it to you for me to report on my experience in this? I can just tell you a story. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is tell you a story, right? You know, about my experience and what it's like and so forth, which is just one more story to store away. You can find out for yourself what happens right now.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And,
yes, you are.
You know, I was thinking, I'll come up here and I'll see a subtle distinction. And then you said, you didn't say I would. I said I would. Maybe just be getting bored with the whole. It's very interesting how this whole thing, how consciousness plays out and how the whole war thing, but it's, at a certain point, it is real irritating.
Boring.
It is
irritating
boring.
And boring.
It's
right.
Kind of boring.
That's right. And what we have wasted our life's blood on, our heart's blood on, is really trivial. And what we have done is really, you know, this great energy of yearning, of wanting, is the life force. It's you. It's the energy of being. And what we have done in our fearfulness, to no fault of our own, but what we have done in our fearfulness is try to contain and control and project this irrepressible energy of being onto objects of acquisition and objects of hatred. And we have concocted all these stories in order to explain and understand and get better at this projecting activity. And we have ignored the fact that the stories themselves and the objects of projection themselves are really trivial and uninteresting. But check this out. The investigation into you, into your actual nature, is infinitely interesting and satisfying. There is no end to it. This is what I mean when I say you are here to be the eye of awareness, looking at itself. And we waste this incredible preciousness. You know, this manifestation of the sense of individual consciousness, it may only come to human beings. And it is quite precious. And in spiritual circles, we've come to despise it. But it is quite precious. It is beautiful. And it is absolutely the tool of consciousness. And we fritter it away on love stories, and hate stories, and wanting stories, and not getting stories, and oh my God, I am so stupid stories, or oh my God, I am so wonderful stories, when what is here, here always, is this infinite, endless depth and richness of being that we are really here to see. This is what we're here to see. The rest of it's just the surface, the face. That can be left alone. The nature of this character, of this personality, and its role in the world, that can be left alone. That's just the vehicle that carries this spark of possibility of resting the conscious attention of awareness on its own nature. And there's no end to the satisfaction there. Is that what you're asking? That's it.
Yeah.
There's no end to it. And then you see very quickly, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I want to see. This is what satisfies. Let the rest of that be as it is. Really. Let thought be as it is. Let this life live itself. It does anyway. God knows. We've never been able to do anything to make it do what I want it to do. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
That was helpful.
Okay. I want to be helpful. Thank you, Peggy. It's amazing. These shells, these characters, these personas, these individuals, these actors strutting and fretting their time upon the stage. They don't capture anything. They're empty. They're empty shells. We somehow fall in love with this soap opera that is me in the world, that is my role, my relationships, my doing good, my doing bad, my getting things, not getting, and so forth. We fall in love with this really stupid soap opera, when really the soap opera is nothing other than the container. It is the vessel in which this possibility of awareness, seeing itself directly, consciously knowing itself, exploring itself, tasting itself, being self alone, is to be found. And the rest of it has no meaning, really. It lives itself. The life lives itself. It does exactly what it's destined to do, with or without my entanglement, with or without my wasting this life. Really, it's a waste of this life. The shaping and the changing and the maneuvering and manipulating of the life, that's not what satisfies. That's just what Papaji called marching in lockstep to the grave, toward the slaughterhouse, keeping our eyes on nothing. The satisfaction, the actual reality of consciousness that arises within I, is to know itself, is to turn and see the source of this being, the source of this experience of being, and to never let off from that, to stay there, but not in the sense of duration, in the sense of now. So that when the story appears, oh, I can't get it. I am just lost in thought. I am just hopeless and helpless. And when that thought appears, see that that too, is just the face of consciousness. Need not be paid attention to. That too is just the outermost surface of the reality that you are. And don't waste a second worrying about it. When it occurs to you, rest your attention on the source of attention, and all will be well. That's the promise of Ramana. That's the promise of Papaji. That's the promise of Gangaji, and that is my continuous experience. When you can, always now, decline to attend to thought, especially the thought about how stupid you've been. Turn attention to its source, and stay there, now, just now, always now. The rest of it's all made up. Okay, I am so happy. I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm grateful for your time and attention. I'm grateful for your willingness. I'm grateful for this light of awareness that shines all here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this satsang. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Bless itself.